It's just great to see my friend Pastor Scott. Isn't he such a warm guy? It's warm and welcoming, and it's just great to be able to see you all and just be able to say hello face to face. Welcome and Happy New Year. Just a brief update on Coach. Thank you for your generous introduction there, Pastor Scott. Coach had a tough year last year in 2020, but we still managed to grow a little bit, and we're now partnering with 133 churches across this nation and in the UK as well. So I just wanted to say thank you for people who've donated to LifeCare. Thank you for people who've been mentoring through this tough time. Many of you are mentors, and from Crossway, and you're going out into the city of Whitehorse and beyond. And I just wanted to say thank you for giving up your time to draw alongside a family, a young person, or a child. And indeed, we're actually looking to expand the team here. Our team leader is here. Lal is here with his lovely wife Indira, and he's looking for more mentors. To train on the 27th, 28th of February. So if you want to give up 1 or 2 hours a week, 1 or 2 hours a week, that's a few episodes of Netflix. I've been watching a bit too much Netflix, I don't know about you, through lockdown, but you know, it's 1 or 2 hours a week to actually make a difference, to see somebody in tough places flourish through mentoring. That's what Coach does. And if you're interested in joining the team, there's some training coming up on the 27th, 28th of Feb. And so please just go to the welcome desk and register your interest. There's no obligation. You just come along to the training, see what it's about. And if you want to go on, the team, the fantastic team led by Lal, will match you with a young person, a child, could be a primary school kid or a young person or a family who might be struggling. So just a little bit of an update about Coach. As Pastor Scott has already shared, we've had a challenging year last year, haven't we? We've seen the chaos. We've seen the chaos just this week in Washington, D.C. In my home country, I'm from England. Just yesterday, there were 68,000 new cases of COVID, 68,000. And I've had friends who've been on ventilators, young friends and older friends, people my age on ventilators. I've known several people in the UK who've had COVID, and it's not good in the UK. So spare a thought for the UK. Spare a thought and a prayer for Washington, for the USA as well, as Pastor Scott has mentioned. And I think it's good, as I was thinking about this, as I was preparing for this talk, this sermon today, I thought it would be good to just pause and reflect on what type of God do we follow? You know, who are we following? And that's a question I'm going to try and answer today, try and answer this morning. And if you're watching online, you know, we're just great to stop and reflect, what type of God do we follow? About 18 months ago, I moved to a new community. I was living in Mitcham, but we decided to, my wife and I and my daughter Molly, we decided to move to a place called Warneet. Nobody's ever heard of Warneet, but it's just about 14 kilometres from Cranbourne, and it's quite near to the Berwick campus, the southeast campus, and I started going along to the southeast campus as a result of the move. But Warneet has really grown in my heart, and it's become, I like to think, it's become my sort of sacred place. And I've called this talk Sacred Pace. We're in this preaching season called Sacred Pace, but I think of Warneet as my sacred place now. I started to get to know people 18 months ago, and I was told by somebody the place to meet people in Warneet is in the Warneet Motor Yacht Club. And so I went along one evening, And I'm not sure if Laura was with me or not, but I went along and I thought, well, I'll go and meet people. I've been told Friday night is the time that people gather at the Warnie Motor Yacht Club. And I got hold of the Commodore, the head of the yacht club. And he said, yeah, come along on Friday. And if you want to join up, you can pay on Friday. So at 6:30, I join. I come along to the yacht club. It's quite a nice yacht club, quite a modern building, overlooking this beautiful estuary called Rutherford Creek. And I go up to the bar and I pay my membership fee, which wasn't very much at all. And I stick around, I start chatting to some of the locals. And I notice that over the evening, and you know, I'm sticking around, things start to get a bit lively in the yacht club. And sure enough, at about 10:30 at night, this big group comes in. And I start talking to them, and I think they'd had a few beverages. And sure enough, one of the women came over to me and she said, "You new?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm new. And they just joined tonight." She said, "That's great. We're going to arm wrestle." And I didn't feel I had a choice. So we get down on the table and we start arm wrestling. And she's a lot stronger than me, and she slams my knuckles into the table. And I thought to myself, this is rather interesting. I mean, this is the yacht club. I wonder if they do this at the Sandringham Yacht Club, or maybe the Royal Melbourne Yacht Club. Do they do arm wrestling? So later on, the Commodore contacted me and he said, "Toby, I've been stalking you on Facebook and I found out that you're a pastor." I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor. I've got my L plates on. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm learning to become a pastor." And he said, "Well, that's great. We need somebody to come and bless the fleet of yachts." And I said, "Well, how many yachts have you got?" He said, "We've got 11 yachts," and he was rather proud of that. But he said, "Well, we've got a lot of social members, but we've got 11 yachts." So I thought, "Well, okay, I'll come along." And I sort of Googled blessing the fleet prayers. I didn't know really what to say, but I rock up, and sure on a Saturday, and there's all the members there. There are the yachts out there on the creek, and there's the MP, the local MP. They've invited the dignitaries. There's some funders. They're there. They're away. We have a nice lunch laid out for after the talks, and I think, flip, this is quite something. But just as I'm about to stand up and lead the blessing of the fleet, this member comes up to me and he grabs me by the arm. He said, "Please remember to bless my boat. Bless my yacht. It's out there on the creek." I said, "Okay, but why is that?" He said, "Well, 2 years ago, we had this priest, this Anglican priest, come and bless the fleet. And one of the other members came up to him and said, 'I don't want you to bless my boat, my yacht, because I'm an atheist.' But this member said to me, he said, 'But sure enough, that very same day, out there in Western Port, down went his boat and sank.'" So, Warneat is a rather interesting place, and it's been great. It really has been great to get to know the community there and get involved in kayaking and all sorts of boating. It's been a fantastic privilege for me. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." You may recall the time of Jeremiah was a stressful time for the Israelites, a very challenging time. There was a lot of chaos. They had been sent from Jerusalem, exiled from their holy place, their sacred place, Jerusalem, from their nation, and been sent by the Babylonians, their conquerors, to the city of Babylon. the evil city of Babylon, the city of the oppressor. And yet, in that space, in that city, what does God call them to do? God calls them to seek the welfare of the city, to pray for it, but to seek the welfare of the city. To start taking responsibility for their place, for their community. And as I read these verses, they spoke to me of my community, of Warneet. I'm feeling a real call to seek the welfare of Warneet. Bonhoeffer says these words: "Have we learnt a little too late in the day that action springs not from thought, but from a readiness for responsibility?" And I just wanted to say thank you again. If you've been, you know, part of the life care team, helping with food, if you've been mentoring through these challenging times, thank you. You've stood up and taken responsibility for this great city of ours, Melbourne. Maybe you're out there and you're part of the 1,200 mentors around this nation. You've stood up and taken responsibility for your community. You're doing what Bonhoeffer calls us to do. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And in this prayer, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." On earth, on this planet, as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's good to think, to reflect on what is God's kingdom. What is going on heaven that we are to bring in with God's help onto this earth in the midst of chaos? What is God's kingdom? What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is when he makes things whole again. When there will be no more pain or suffering. When there's no chaos, there's order. There's a sense of joy. There's a sense of place. There's a sense of well-being. It's when God makes things whole again. And I think this is really important for us to reflect on during these times. And now we won't feel this completion of this complete wholeness until we get to heaven, or if Jesus comes here, there won't be the full sense of his kingdom come. But we can absolutely be working towards this kingdom coming. And God wants to say to you that he wants you to be aware of this wholeness. He desires this wholeness for you. And he desires this wholeness for your place, for your community, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. And so, what type of God? What type of God do we follow? What type of God do we follow? How about we say this together? What type of God do we follow? A God who makes things whole again. Yeah, so that was my first sort of reflection. We follow a God in the midst of this chaos when he makes things whole again. Secondly, God is a God of shalom. Shalom, peace. If you're in the Middle East and you are wanting to greet somebody, you say the word shalom to them, and it means peace. But it also means something a whole lot more deeper than that. It means, if you asked a Hebrew scholar what the word means, it means we live in anticipation of when God makes things whole again, of when God's kingdom comes, of when he makes things whole again. And so I thought this was a really important word, this word peace. He wants us to receive. God wants us to receive peace. This word is a very important biblical word. It's used 557 times in the Bible, peace. It's a really important word. And he wants us to enjoy peace. That's about that sacred pace. He wants us to reflect on that sacred place and give us his sacred peace, his shalom peace to us this morning. I think that's really important. God gave me that word. And who's going to bring in this shalom? Well, Jesus. One of the names for Jesus in the Old Testament is Sar Shalom. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Prince of Peace. Jesus, who dwells in us, is bringing in his peace, his shalom into this world. And this shalom speaks of that wholeness, speaks of flourishing. Flourishing, what do we mean by flourishing? We mean flourishing emotionally, socially, economically, educationally, and of course, spiritually. That holistic flourishing. And shalom means also when everything comes under the purposes of God. If a full definition, if you look at the full definition of shalom, a really important word for us to remember, because it is to do with peace in our hearts. And we live in anticipation of when that will come fully, when Jesus returns. But it's also ready for us as we reflect on what type of God we follow. So, what type of God do we follow? Let's say this together. A God who brings flourishing and peace. Fantastic. Fantastic. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. John 1, verse 14. This is sometimes called the incarnation of God. God wasn't content to stay in his comfort zone of heaven, but actually became flesh and blood and moved in, made his dwelling amongst us, is another translation. But I like the Message translation. He moved into the neighborhood. Jesus became flesh and blood. He became fully human. And he shared in becoming fully human, he shared in our pain. He shared in our suffering. And he entered a world that was full of chaos. That time of Epiphany, there was chaos right around that time. Political chaos with King Herod. And then you had the Roman Empire. Political chaos. You had zealots. You probably had riots. It was a chaotic time. And Jesus enters that space and becomes fully human. He sweated, he bled, and of course he died with us and for us. So God, as I say, God was not just remote. He's not just a remote God. He is a God that is with us. He's a God that came into this world. And again, for me, this is really important for us to reflect on. I don't know about you, but we don't worship a God that is far and distant and remote. We worship a God who is with us, who's fully human. So what type of God do we follow? A God who moved into the neighborhoods. Let's say that together. Sorry. A God who moved into the neighborhood. Again, really important for us through this time to remember that. He's not a distant God for you. As we reflect on our sacred pace and indeed on our sacred place, we reflect on a God that came, that dwelt with us. So in summary, how can we move towards the shalom flourishing ourselves? And indeed for our neighbors. How can we do that? But I reckon that we can do that by following, by establishing, by going at a sacred place, pace, in the sacred place of our neighborhoods. Let's say that together. By going at a sacred pace in the sacred place of our neighborhoods. I believe God is calling us to do that today, to slow down a little bit, to actually not lose everything. There have been some silver linings, haven't there, through this time, in through COVID, through lockdown. We have slowed down. We've shifted down gears. I have. And as well as perhaps watching too much Netflix, I have actually slowed down. I've actually tried to spend more time in my community, and as a church, many of us have done this. We've become pastors of our street. We've got to know our neighbors, and I believe that God, the message today is to not lose that, to focus in on a sacred pace for ourselves, but also into our sacred places. Let's focus our time more and not lose that, not rush back to the same old crazy schedules that perhaps we had at the early part of 2020. Let's spend more time in our communities. Let's reflect more on God's good creation. Let's reflect more on where He has put us. Let's notice the environment. Let's notice God's creation. Let's notice that I go walking and I notice the path. There's a lovely sort of sandy path where I go walking through Warneed. And I notice the trees. I notice the birds. I notice the sky. And for me, I'm lucky. I'm near the water. I notice the water. It's good to stop and just take that in, isn't it? Absorb that. And, you know, you, if you go for a walk through your park, through your street, just slow down. Take it all in. Go at a sacred pace and observe what's going on in your neighborhood. And I'd argue our neighborhoods are sacred places because God's created them. And let's notice, look out for God and reflect on Him in our neighborhoods. I just came across this lovely poem from Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry's a Christian poet and an environmentalist. And he says these words, this little poem that I thought captures this idea quite well. Slow down. Pay attention. Do good work. Love your neighbors. Love your place. Stay in your place. Settle for less, enjoy it more. So I've been trying to do a bit of that. I've been trying to do a bit of that in my community. I've got to know my neighbors. I've got to know Patrick. Patrick is a 70-year-old guy. He's a Warneetian. He's been in Warneet for decades. He's just about a local now. And he lives a couple of doors down, and he's given me permission to share his story. He's even before COVID, he was a pretty isolated, pretty lonely guy. And Laura and I got to know him, and he's cut off from his family. And we started to invite him around. He loves gardening, so one of his interests is gardening. So he came around, and he's helped us with a garden. He's helped us. He's planted plants for us. I've got some pictures of his plants right here, actually, just on the left. There's some agapanthus. He came, and this was before lockdown. And we got to know Patrick. But during lockdown, we observed that he was doing it really hard. He was getting more lonely, a little bit anxious, perhaps. And so we deliberately spent a bit more time with him safely, just talking over the fence, socially distanced, engaging with him. And one of the things came up is that on his nature strip, he had a V8 Commodore engine. You can see it there on the right of the screen. You can see it. That's his V8 Commodore engine. And it was stunned on his nature strip. And he said to me, I can't afford to take this away to the tip. It's too expensive. And the neighbors had actually come up. I could, a bit of a vibe as I got to know the neighbors was they really did not like Patrick's V8 Commodore engine. It was a bit of an eyesore. As you came down our street, Edgewater Terrace, there's this great big block, engine block. And so I just felt prompted one day, to go and bury it. And as I was burying it, I'm not good at planting plants, they all die on me, but I thought to myself, I can bury this engine. And Patrick came out and he gave me his shovel and he gave me a pick. And I spent the morning just listening to him and burying this V8 engine. But he told me the story of the engine. He told me the story of this V8. He told me his love of cars and the history behind this engine and his interest in cars. And we really formed a connection. And I dare say that Patrick has become a good friend. And so I've been trying to do this more in my community. It links to this idea of becoming a pastor of your street. But it just starts with something pretty ordinary, a conversation. And I believe God is calling us today to not move back to our crazy schedules that we perhaps had in 2019. But in 2021, to not lose this time that we of being able to have time for our sacred places, for our sacred, and enjoy a sacred pace. So some tips on how to do this. These are my top 10 tips on how to move into your community and how to make a difference on your street. And they link to this idea. We've spoken about it. In the middle of the year as becoming pastor of your street. But I want us to continue to do this. So start, if you haven't done so, prayer walking. You can bring your children, you can bring your spouse, you can bring your friends. Start prayer walking the street. But notice more. Notice what's going on. I noticed the engine, but I also noticed the good stuff as well, the trees. And you need to slow down to care. Jesus was passionate about, he said, commands us to love our neighbor. Love our neighbor. It's a strong word, love, isn't it? A really strong word. And I thought to myself, how can I do this? How can I love? It's the brotherly, sisterly love that he's talking about. How can I really do this? And it was a bit of a challenge to me last year. How am I really loving my neighbors? Mother Teresa says, we cannot do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So I've been trying to do this a bit more. I've been trying to be a bit more. Thirdly, I'm trying to understand people's stories, but remember their stories. This is so important. Understand people's stories. What are their interests? Patrick's interests: gardening, motor cars. Some of their milestones? What's Patrick's? So I was listening to him. Where are some of his milestones? One, that he had a job working for a local newspaper. That was his best job he had in his career. I remembered that. I've also remembered he had a dear friend who was in East Gippsland who just passed away in the middle of the year. I remembered that. And I was actually able to help pastor to him with a small p with his grief. You know, it doesn't need to be, you don't need to be a pastor to do this. You just need to be a neighbor. But you do need to be intentional and you need to be interruptible. Jesus was interruptible, wasn't he? The whole time he was on ministry, he got interrupted. There's many stories. You know, when he was off to one healing, he got interrupted by a woman who needed healing. Loads of times he was interrupted. And we need to be interruptible. I'm not very good at doing that. I'm thinking, oh, I've got to get on with my emails or whatever it might be. But God, I think, wants us to be a bit more interruptible in 2021. Note any deeper needs. Yeah? No, so Patrick had the deeper need where he lost his friend. He's got the deeper need of having to bury the V8 engine. Note any deeper needs. And you're not alone, so don't feel you've got to take it all on. There might be a deeper need that you need to refer to life care. We've got the team of counselors. We've got mentors. You don't have to do it all yourself. But you can offer help if you can. And allow people to serve you. So Patrick came and served, absolutely served, and still does serve us very much. Helps us with the garden. Don't be the expert. Allow people to serve you. Really, really important to form that connection. At the beginning of lockdown, be extra grateful. At the beginning of lockdown, somebody gave me a box of 50 masks. And so I just felt that just for free, just, you know, that was $50 worth of masks or something at the time because they were premium. And so I felt it was prompted to actually give them a gift to say thank you and a card to say thank you. So be extra grateful in your community and with your neighbors. Be grateful. And look out for people of peace. Patrick's become a bit of a person of peace. He's somebody who likes me, listens to me, and happy to serve me. That's our definition of a crossway of a person of peace, somebody who likes you, listens to you, and is happy to serve you. And think about what next. I think, and I'm a bit reluctant to say this here, but I'm going to say it. I'm praying about maybe in Warnie, maybe in that motor yacht club, that maybe we might establish some sort of satellite or micro church or small group or missional community, and I want to start something. I believe God wants me to start something because he wants people in Warneet. It's a fairly secular space. He wants people to come to know him, to come to know Jesus, our Savior. And so I'm feeling prompted to do something this year. And what about you in your neighborhood? Are you thinking, maybe you've made those connections. Don't lose those connections. Maybe there's a next step that you can take. You can, you know, maybe establish a small alpha group. You know, Tim Heng's here. He can help. You know, you may want to start up a little fellowship group. Have a meal together. Do something in your neighborhood, in your sacred place. So, what type of God do we follow? What type of God do we follow? In the middle of this chaos, what type of God do we follow? A God who makes things whole again. What type of God do we follow? A God who's bringing in shalom flourishing for us and for our communities. What type of God do we follow? We follow a God who moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that a fantastic thing? Jesus moved into the neighborhood. He made his dwelling amongst us. That is the type of God we follow. That is the type of God that we need to reflect on for our own sacred pace. As we go out into our sacred places, we can bring that flourishing to others. We can bring that shalom throughout to others by becoming pastors of our street, but by spending a bit more time, not losing sight of our neighbors to the left, to the right, and to the left of us. Let's not lose that in 2021. Let me pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you are sovereign over this world. You are sovereign over this nation, Australia. You're sovereign over our city, Melbourne. You're sovereign in our sacred places and in our neighborhoods, Lord. And indeed, we acknowledge this morning, that you are sovereign over our hearts, over us as individuals. So help us remind us that we can have this flourishing, this shalom flourishing, you in our hearts. You are wanting to make us whole again. And indeed, Lord, you are calling us to move out into our neighborhoods, into our sacred places. And so help us with that, Lord Jesus. Be with us as we reflect on that. And all the people said, Amen.